Hi, Alan. I went away with a friend to Hot Sulphur Springs.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, and it was really great.
Hot Sulphur. Now, in Colorado?
Yeah, it's about a half hour beyond Grand Lake.
Yes, I've been there many times.
Oh, have you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I wonder if the old lady died that owned it and if they're new owners.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone I saw looked like they weren't beyond 21.
Oh, yeah. Is the motel operating?
Yeah, they have a motel right by there.
I know the motel's there, but is it doing business?
Yes.
Okay, then I bet you it was sold because she had sort of let it run down.
Yeah, I think 2 years ago they totally renovated.
Okay, new
They
owner.
now have 22 different pools.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and they tell you the temperature of each one.
Oh, that's like down in Pagosa Springs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been there.
Okay.
But it was
So you
such a
had a
nicer.
wonderful adventure, did you,
Yeah, it
Helen?
was an adventure.
Yes, and Dan is there.
I'm sorry?
And I was just taking a list. I heard you and I heard Dan.
No, it's
Oh,
Randy.
Randy.
Oh, it's Randy. It's not Dan. Sorry. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Alan.
Oh, Dan is here. Well, I was hearing it. I just
Dan is here.
got the voice wrong.
Jennifer's here.
Oh, hey, Jennifer. We had a great time at the Corn Festival.
Did you go for the whole works or just the
Yes, the
evening?
whole works, including the evening concert with Creedence Clearwater.
Oh, okay.
So thank you for starting that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Where was this?
I'm sorry?
Where was this?
In the most famous town on the planet of Olathe, Colorado.
Creedence Clearwater played in Olathe?
Would you believe that?
No.
To, God, I don't know, how many, 20,000 people?
Jeez.
Oh, that's great.
Can you believe such a thing that happened in Olathe,
I can't
Colorado?
believe it.
With a huge sound stage in the works and
Wow.
fireworks afterwards and I was like transported back in time. I haven't been to a concert in years.
Wow. Were
And
you singing along?
but listen to this, Jennifer started this whole thing how many years ago?
86.
Yep.
You started it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you
Wow.
start it?
Well, we had an apple packing shed, and some of these stinky farmers came around and wanted to know if we could start doing corn. And we did. And boy, they ate our lunch over it, and it ended up with the Democrats, and they got $1 million grants and stuff, and it continued on. They repoed our farm and just about ruined us.
That's great.
That's how it all.
Do you still live there, Jennifer?
Yeah, I live in Olathe.
You do.
Oh.
I carry some real deep black water around too.
Oh,
Uh-huh.
I bet.
That's all right. You did a good thing, Jennifer. And it will come back to you. Anybody else with us? Any other visitors to our evening? I'm missing somebody. I'm not sure. Oh, Magnus.
Yeah, he's usually with us.
Is Magnus here?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Hey! I
Hi.
just want to make sure. Okay, I'm going to light my candle and we're all charged together like a pack of wild yaks. By the way, we met a lovely yak at the festival.
Wasn't it?
Yes, a lovely, wonderful yak.
There's a whole bunch of them just outside of Gunnison. Some guy's got them. Have you ever noticed them?
No.
Yeah, they're real cute up there.
Yes, this was
Well,
a.
they might be muskox up there.
Really? Well, this was a true yak from the Himalayas, a year
Yeah.
old, and very friendly. We patted him and pulled his ears.
That's great.
Are you all ready to charge?
Okay, can I just tell you something that Boulder's doing that's a riot?
Yes.
They have imported sheep, and you'll be driving around and you'll suddenly see 30 or 40 sheep, and they use them to eat the grass and aerate the soil instead of, you know, having to pay someone to mow the lawn.
Oh, they wander freely over all Boulder? Do they wander freely all throughout Boulder?
No, they have them. They're usually in enclosed areas. They put fences up.
Oh, I see.
A lot,
yeah, and they're goats. I said sheep, but they're goats.
Yes.
They put them up along the side of the road.
Yes, that's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Okay, you all ready to charge?
Well, I can't find my matches, so.
And I already charged. Should I do it twice?
Yes.
Okay,
Randy, find your matches. Come on. Now, a suggestion, when you all get ready for class, you know you need your sun candle, you know you need matches, have your things ready. Well, let's do it, and then you'll catch up. Child of wonder, child of flame, nourish our spirits and protect our aim. Now let's all do it together. Okay? I want to hear you guys. Child of wonder.
Child of wonder.
Child of flame.
Nourish
our
spirit.
And nourish our aim.
Our aim.
And protect our aim.
Yeah, I switched around, but don't worry about that. Good. Thank you. Okay. So, Helen, from all your wonderful experiences, how would you have determined that with interest has to do with water?
Were you asking me, Ellen?
I was.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear the name.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I missed class last week, so I did the right, but I wasn't necessarily pertaining it to water. But then I did find a lot more grief stuff emerging around my dad, who died a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And with the grief, there was, and this might be more air, but there was a quality of a lot of curiosity about how he's doing and our relationship now with me on this sphere and him in another one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, so how would you determine, this is cool, how would you determine whether curiosity is more air or more water?
Well, the curiosity part that felt water was that when I had the thoughts, the air, emotions arose.
Yeah, but that might be mutable air.
Oh, okay.
So, considering characteristics of air versus characteristics of water, how would you determine that curiosity was either air or water? What are the properties of curiosity?
Well, it was a carrier for my emotions.
Okay. So would that be air or water?
That's water.
Good. What else?
I would say in some ways it felt like a mediator for Earth.
Okay. Now, there's one distinct characteristic that air does not have that water does. There's more than one, but there's one that I sort of underline for you guys.
It definitely felt more feminine.
Yeah, but aside from that, what is the one characteristic that is very different that air does not have at all, that water does have? Aside from Earth Mover or Earth Penetrator, because that's too obvious.
Okay. Huh. I can think of the feminine and the Earth.
Well, you're not looking at your list then.
No, I don't have my list out.
Oh, well, so we should come to class with our tools, huh?
They're here. I just hadn't looked at them. I was trying to recall without looking.
That's all right. Cindy, what would you guess? Randy, you there?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
What would you say? I'm sorry?
Absorptive?
Yes. Thank you. Helen, does that make sense?
Did you say focus?
Absorptive.
Oh, absorptive.
Isn't that what what did you call it?
Curiosity.
Isn't that what a curiosity is all about?
Yeah.
Doesn't it pull?
Uh-huh.
So that's how you would know that it's water.
Okay.
Cool. So, Randy, how did you determine... What would tell you from your experience that with interest has to do with water? Because some people might think it had to do with air or fire.
You were saying how I would determine which...
how your experience.
Mm-hmm. How my experience with what?
With the exit ritual?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
How does doing the exit ritual teach us or inform us that it has to do with water? You know, what of your experiences could you say, oh, yeah, that obviously has to do with water then?
Well, for me, doing the exit ritual, I would just try to notice all the things that I thought looked like had water qualities.
What I'm asking is, what did you experience with the exit ritual with interest? And how does that tie to water?
Okay. Well, I agree with Helen. Had a curiosity flavor to it.
Okay.
And
so then, when you go out and you spend the week, say, saying sky above and earth below, with interest, I greet you, who is in control of your focus? Or what is in control?
Well... my mind, my spirit.
I would say the outer world.
I get a little confused there.
I would say the outer world.
The outer world controls my experience.
No, your focus.
My focus. Yes. I see that.
Did you not find that your focus went everywhere under the sun?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay. And is water not shaped malleable?
Yes.
And does it not have allure or absorptive?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that's all I'm getting at. I wanted to see if you all... notice the connection between doing this exit ritual and finding out that you don't own your focus all the time.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all. I'm not trying to make it difficult.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just wanting us to see, it's very valuable for us to start to demystify some of these principles, such as we think we own our focus. We think that that is our special tool, that our minds decide and tell us exactly where our focus or our attention will be all the time. But that might be an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we going to find out? Only we can find out by our experience. You can't check it by memory, because your memory, fools you. It fools us. It tells us, oh yeah, I always have control of my focus. Of course I do. I'm an adult human being. And then you go out and you watch. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So, it's the water qualities out there in the world that are attracting our focus.
Well, no, it's the water quality of which interest that does not allow us to own our focus when we do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It expands our attention way out there. But let's see what other people found. Maybe I'm wrong. Dan, what light would you throw on this?
Well, I wasn't perceiving anything all week long. It was really getting to me that I couldn't, just nothing. I was picking up nothing. Nothing new or different. But now that you've said what you've said, I understand.
because it was out there, not in you.
No, because of the nature of what I do, my focus is for the most part, is a reactive thing of where people will need something or have a deadline or something, and they are constantly changing my focus.
Right. So you're saying it's too much of what you already are.
Yeah, there was nothing new there for me. The realization or the, getting what the point that you had just made. But that's everyday life for me.
So that means that you live in a high water environment.
That and being a water sign on top of that. And, yeah.
Yeah. So, see, this is very, very fascinating for us to hear, because your mind assumption was, I perceive nothing. So then what that tells us, from your mind's point of view, something that is the way it is always is nothing. However, when you begin to decode it, it's definitely not a nothing. It's just more of the same.
True.
So watch how your mind informs you. Just be aware that if it looks at something that doesn't seem different, it is willing to tell you nothing happened. And that's not actual or factual. So you could always then go back to your mind in the situation and say, okay, in all that is the same, what is different? And it would tell you, whoops, more of what was the same. Jennifer, what was your experience?
I had a real hectic week. There was lots to do, and I got a lot done. But I also felt myself questioning if I could do what I've always been doing. So I can see that real clear. that everything just expanded so much that...
Yeah, you were pulled more to the outer.
Yeah, yeah.
So you felt less, almost like you had less control.
Oh, yeah. No control almost, yeah.
Well, that's the perception. But you see, the truth is, you said, I got a lot done. So you see, even though your perception said, I have no control, in actuality you did. But that perception that you're speaking of was a mind assignment. Your mind told you I'm out of control.
Yeah.
Your experience said you were in control, or else you would have gotten nothing done. So then mind, you could say, in many cases, might be the culprit for uneasy feelings. That's mutable air.
So what would I do, take on boxes of mutable air? To...
Oh, no, I would take on the opposite. I would get rid of mutable air. I would take on stable air. I would take on mediator, white mediator, white stable.
Okay.
Get rid of white reactive. Get rid of white mediator, mutable.
Okay.
And that way you could verify. Magnus, what was your experience?
My experience was something I couldn't explain it, but I'll try. There were two ways I do this thing. I have a strong emotional attachment to. I was doing it both ways. At the point, I said, "No, I got to do it this one way," because I pay some fees for doing, monthly charges for doing it that way. Surprisingly, this week, things began to change. It was kind of like revelation said, no, that's not the best way. To do it efficiently, you have to do it the way you used to do it like 4 or 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I was kind of ignoring it, but it kept on absorbing my consciousness, every time I think about it, and the weight it carries kind of begin to convince me I have to do it that way. Now, finally, I decided to do it that way. Then it kind of shed more light to this process, what I've been doing.
Right, okay.
I concluded like, hey, this is a better and efficient way of doing it. Forget about the fact that you pay more, doing it the way you changed some time ago, but this is the best way. It was kind of like a revelation to me.
Right.
I was like, wow.
Okay, so your first idea in that was that it was your mind talking to you, correct?
Yes.
And then you found out it was not.
It was not.
It was your spirit talking to you.
Exactly.
Right. And that's water compared to mind, because it was more knowing than thinking.
Exactly.
Right. So that's another way to know that with interest has to do with water rather than with air. So now that brings up a whole other consideration for all of us, because we're used to thinking that our mind is interesting. What we think is interesting. But by virtue of this exercise, I would begin to challenge that and say that what I experience emotionally or what I know is interesting. It is not. What I think and what I believe is not very interesting. i.e. it doesn't have much pull or much attraction, does not have much density, does not have much form, therefore has less significance or value. Does this make sense to you all, Helen? Does this make
sense? Yes, it does.
Okay, Randy?
What you're saying, but it has less value?
Yeah. Well, how do you assign value? How do you determine value? What's useful?
Well, what I determine as value is pretty much what my mind decides what has value.
That's what you've been taught.
Yeah.
That may not be so.
That's true.
So then challenge it.
Okay.
You know, live with it as a question rather than an answer. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Now, for the rest of your studies, keep that as an open question. Does my mind and my thinking assign value, or does my spirit and my knowing and my experience assign value? And see what you find out.
Mm-hmm.
See, it opens a very fundamental issue. How do we create significance? What in us creates significance? And if we simply operate on assumption, we're not very good investigators, are we?
No.
So check it out and see.
All right.
Dan, is that making sense to you?
Yes, sir.
Jennifer?
Does my mind and thinking create value, or does my spirit and knowing?
Yeah. What part of me creates value?
Okay.
And the prior thing that we were discussing is that interest, as we have described it, being more water than air, would tell us that my thoughts and my beliefs are not very interesting, i.e. they don't have a lot of pull. It's a false control. It always seeks to control, but it has to do an awful lot, has to use a lot of fire to do it. So therefore, when I am an over-controller, or I'm always trying to control, it wears me out. It diminishes my life force. I'm using up my precious fire, my vital fire, because it's not the real part of us that controls. It does not say that principle or higher laws or my understanding is not the basis for control. It's saying that mind in of itself is not the authority of control.
How does this play on or interface with the pineal gland? The reality and the mind and the emotions, the separation or the coming together of those two things?
Okay. What produces enlightenment? Can you think yourself into enlightenment?
I would say experience.
Okay. So you can't think yourself there, right?
Right.
It has to do with knowingness, doesn't it?
Yes.
And further than that, it has to do with being able to use your knowingness.
Okay.
So then it has really very little to do with thinking. Does not say it does not have to do with principle or higher law. Which is spiritual air. But thinking is physical air. Do you see the difference?
Yes. understand that. Is the pineal gland anything like a gateway?
Sure. And what is it a gateway to?
That's what I don't know.
Well, where is it located, my friend?
Well, it's in the middle of your head.
On top, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what is that closest to?
Well, it'd be closest to the crown chakra.
Well, and what is that closest to? The earth?
No.
So what is it closest to, given that we're walking beings, standing erect?
Well, it's closest to the ethers.
And what color is up there?
White.
I don't think so.
No.
It's not what I'm seeing as I look outside. Looks like sky blue to me.
Yeah, okay.
So what does that tell you? What is sky blue? Isn't it spiritual air?
Yeah.
Okay. And what is reflected in water? Ah, water blue. Reflects spiritual air.
Okay.
So I think that answers that question for you very nicely. Magnus, is this clear to you?
I'm sorry?
Is all this we've been talking about make sense to you?
I mean, with my experience, it makes 100% sense because now I begin to relate to certain portion of the Bible. It says that the ways of man is not the word of God. You know, in my human mind, I was thinking this is the best way I got to do this. Now, after this process in this week, or past week, I should say, I begin to realize using the combination, solves a lot of problems. It will be more efficient. Everything will be done on time.
Right.
And I wouldn't have to go back, repeat the process from time to time like I'm doing with this way because it's being paid for, so they got to take care of it.
Okay. So that was an inspiration, was it not?
It is.
Right. And that comes through intuition, does it not?
It does.
It just sort of was like a light bulb. And that's water. Cool. Well, I mean, we spent a lot of time on that, but you all seem to be getting some really good stuff out of that. So I just want you to own it. And then this coming week, we're doing with compassion, I'm pretty sure. Let me take my notes. Whoops, water chew. Make sure that is true. Yeah, with compassion. So, having discovered something about water and interest, now you can sort of see, well, what is it like when I meet the sky and I meet the earth, greet, if you want to say, with compassion? What does that add to my life? So then, what did you do with, say, the recognition exercises, one or two, Helen, in terms of water? Now we're playing with water so avidly.
Either exercise one or two you want?
Yeah, either one.
Okay. Let's see. I body part observed, I am the eye.
Okay.
For transparency or clarity, I have it's very easy to see. The emotions color or change my eye color. They also can be considered like a window to the soul.
Yes, indeed. How would you differentiate that between air or water? the window to the soul.
I mean, my sense of seeing the soul has much more to do with feelings than thinking.
I agree. I just want to check it out with you.
Yeah.
But your idea is that the soul rarely speaks through your mind.
Right.
Sure, I agree.
Okay. And also in terms of clarity, on a physical level, if there's something irritating your eye, it can get red.
And it can water.
And it can water, right.
So that's reactive, too.
Yeah, yeah. For carrier, it carries small particles, it carries tears, it carries contact lenses, it can carry tension, like if you read too much.
Would carrying of tension be air or water?
Well, I would see it, I guess, as coming from the source. I mean, if the source of the tension was thinking too much, or what you're thinking, but if the source of the tension had more to do with your emotions.
Okay. Remember now that water is interior. What is air?
Exterior.
Right. So would that help?
Yeah. Okay.
So something that was reflective or causing reactivity from the outside could be more air, couldn't it?
Yeah.
And something from the inside could be more water.
Okay.
So that's one way.
Okay.
And the degree of fire carried could be another way.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your emotions were heavily moved or moving considerably and you cried, that could be water carrying fire.
Right. Okay, I see that.
Okay, go ahead. You're doing great.
Reflectivity, I have... the wrinkles around your eye reflecting worry or laughter.
Okay. So and now how would you tell that's water rather than air?
Okay, could be the same thing if it comes from the outside.
No. Go deeper than that. You gotta see, the trick of this is you have to use all the characteristics to decide. Think about it. Water moves earth.
Right.
Air doesn't move earth.
Right.
So therefore, it's got to be water, because otherwise the face would not move.
Okay. Okay. Non-compressible, I have it, the eyes are slightly compressible, they can change volume, with an increase in water like tears or a decrease in water from arid conditions.
Now, does the eyeball actually change volume or does it change shape?
Well, I thought the eyeball itself, if you had glaucoma, say, then there would be a change in volume. Because if I understand glaucoma, there's more fluid buildup.
Okay, that's possible. A lot of eye conditions, particularly affecting vision, the main difference is the shape of the eye changes.
Right.
There may be swelling conditions that the volume increases. So, okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, I think also if you have an overactive thyroid,
the eyes bulge out.
Yeah.
Does not necessarily mean they're larger, though. it's the muscle, the interocular muscles push it out.
Okay.
From pressure.
Okay. Yeah, I get the difference. I don't know enough about the eyes.
Oh, well, that's how we're... Well, no, that's all right. You're doing great. We're just decoding as we go.
Right.
Sure.
Okay. Slightly expandable. I have, yes, in terms of shape, the pupils dilate, corneas.
Well, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. With emotions, your eyes can get wide with fear or wonder.
Okay.
Unite vision changes.
Sure.
Reactive. Let's see. Here I find that I came up with air and fire. Like your eyes could change in response to thoughts or in response to something like determination. And then they would be reactive to emotions as well.
Yeah, I would agree. And that might even be mutable.
Uh-huh.
In a sense, it's not mutable in the sense that your eye changes into something else.
Right.
Or into another element, per se. And yet, at the same time, it seems to express mutability in terms of what happens inside as a result.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to know. I mean, that's where it gets kind of tricky, but...
Okay.
Well, you certainly hit enough that I know you know what you're doing, so thank you. We'll move on just so we don't use up too much time, okay?
Fine.
Randy, what is one you did with this?
You want the physical body or the person?
I don't care. Why don't you do a person since
all right.
Helen did a body part.
Well, I picked a friend of mine.
Good.
And for the characteristic of clarity, she's pretty clear in her emotions, yet they become jaded or warped by her experiences in the world that cause her to not trust her emotions.
So what other characteristic then would sort of come along with that?
Probably, mutable?
Possibly. I was thinking malleable.
Malleable.
Because she's shaping herself according to outer conditions and so forth.
I see. So that would actually be...
You'd have to decide, is that air? Her belief part would be air, but her other part would be water.
Yes.
You know, if her personality changes, or if her attitudes change,
mm-hmm.
or if her persona changes,
yes.
her behaviors change. It's sort of like going beyond air at that point, I think.
Yes, it is.
Okay, keep going.
I say she's a carrier for both air and fire energies.
Okay.
Reflectivity. She's a good mirror and reflects her emotional state to her friends and reflects back the emotional state of others.
Okay.
Non-compressible. Oh, physically, I guess she's somewhat non-compressible. Spiritually and emotionally.
How is she in behavior?
In behavior?
Yeah.
I'm not following you as far as...
Is she stubborn?
Stubborn?
Resistant?
Persistent.
Okay, she's persistent.
Yes.
In that regard, she's non-compressible. And also not malleable.
If she's persistent.
Well, if it's easy to affect her or control her, then she is compressible or malleable. If not, she is not.
Yeah, well, I have that she is compressible.
Okay.
Because I say emotionally she can compress quickly when encountering fire energy of a negative nature. You know, like an anal boss or an authority figure calling her down for something, which would be like a burst of fire energy.
What compresses in her?
Well, what compresses is her, I guess, ability to react.
Okay. But it does not necessarily mean that her emotions have compressed. She might be having all kinds of emotional experiences which she doesn't let on.
That's true, yeah.
And they may come out in other ways later on, in behaviors or illnesses or all kinds of things.
Right. I see what you mean.
Because water is non-compressible.
Oh.
Therefore, her emotions can't be compressible. They can mutate, but they can't compress.
Okay. Well, I said they were definitely expandable.
Okay, good.
Physically, very expandable because people can get fat.
That is true.
Yeah. Emotionally and spiritually, I said she's very expandable. She's very receptive to positive energy and expands during play and seems to spiritually lighten up.
Good.
She likes to take walks, and the physical energy seems to allow her mind to expand and explore her thoughts and feelings.
Okay. Is she absorptive?
Yes. She's good. Absorptive.
Yeah. Some of these it's hard to put a quantity or a quality on, isn't it?
It is. Very difficult.
Right. But you sort of can begin to do so in this way. You notice how some people are very inattentive?
Yes.
And some people are very attentive, like when you relate to them and so forth, or to their environment?
Yes.
Some people are very interested in everything around them. Some people are so cut off that they're not. So that's all measurements of absorptive.
They're all what?
They're measurements of one's absorptive characteristic. So someone, if your friend is very easily interested in things you tell her or talking to her, things you're doing, things she's doing, that's more absorptive. But if you get somebody who's really shut down and they're never interested in anything you have to tell them, they're not interested in much around them, they're either so unifocused or distracted or withheld that they have very little interest or are very uninteresting. Either way, they're lacking in absorptive.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So that's how we begin to determine level of somebody's involvement in a particular characteristic by looking at how they use it.
I see.
And is she an earth mover and an earth penetrator or either?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to remember what I put down for. Well, I put down that she uses her air and fire energies to move her emotions, and then her emotional presence moves others.
Okay. Is she very creative? Okay. Does she inspire you?
Oh. Yeah, some.
Some
degree.
But not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot.
Okay. And you wouldn't say that she's a primary leader?
Well, she has had leadership jobs, but...
Irregardless.
No, I wouldn't...
She's not a Joan of Arc.
No.
No. So then I would say she's not much of an earth mover.
Not an earth mover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, you know, we have an expression for that, a shaker and a mover.
That's right.
And so isn't that a nice yardstick for whether a person is an earth mover or not?
Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, just in the overall sense of things. Because we have to have ways to observe these characteristics. It does not necessarily mean the person doesn't have it at all. What we're wanting to find out is it predominant or not?
Yeah.
Or is it obviously lacking? Because when you do a whole person's whole balances, that's how you have to do it. Does it really stand out either as being there or obviously not there? Because you don't dwell on the characteristics that are just sort of there so-so. You dwell on the ones that are obviously not there or obviously there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. See, this. You see how helpful these exercises are?
Yes. Well, I see how helpful your instructions, I mean, your wisdom is.
Well, it's just the way I tear everything apart, you know. Being a Sagittarius with big teeth, I can't avoid it.
Alan?
Yeah?
If somebody is obviously a mover-shaker in one kind of situation but not another,
mm-hmm.
do you just then add, bring reactive into it or absorb it?
Possibly, but do you remember that magic is always done in the moment?
Okay.
So in one moment, a person might be one thing, and another moment, they may be another thing.
Okay.
But what's really happening is you're looking at different archetypes in that person.
Right.
Different personas.
Okay.
So that way you can say, well, we're never the same. We're never one thing or another thing. However, in that persona, or that aspect of the person, these are their characteristics. In another situation, these are their characteristics. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why modern psychology doesn't work so well.
Yeah.
It says we're always the same. We're not. It labels us. It says, well, you have a problem because you act this way and this way, and you need to act this way and this way. But that is not actually the case.
Right.
Under these set of influences, you act this way because you're in that particular archetype.
Okay.
But that's too complicated for a simplistic view when it wants to talk about, well, you've got a personality and you've got an ego and so on, and this is what it does. And so then you say, well, you have a problem because your personality, your ego, does not or does do these things. And you're saying, scratching your head and saying, yeah, but I remember a lot of times when I don't do that.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Dan, what was one you did?
I did my hand.
Okay. There it was, us. You water being you.
It was pretty right there in front of me, so I decided to use it. For transparency, clarity, yes, it is a hand. It can be transparent if you put it in front of a strong light to some degree. You can see through it.
Okay.
For a carrier, yes, it can carry many things.
Right. Now, is not your hand very expressive of your inner state? So that would also be transparency, reflective, and reactive.
Sure, yeah, it would. that takes care of the next one, is it being reflective. Non-compressible, I said no. It's slightly expandable, yes, you can spread your fingers out and take up more space. Reactive.
Shape malleable.
Shape malleable, yes.
Right. But expandable, even though you take up more space in one sense, from a fist to a broad hand, that's still shape malleable.
Right.
If your hand swells, that's taking up more space. Mm-hmm. That's expandable.
Okay. Well, it can happen. That can happen too.
That can happen. However, at the time you looked at it, it probably was not doing that.
No.
And it was probably not compressible either. So it was not, that's funny the way you say, it's not expandable and it's non-compressible. That means lacking in air and it has water. Dropped one air characteristic, but you picked up a water one.
Right. Smooth flow, yes, it can move very, very smoothly and gracefully.
Mm-hmm. In fact, hands really, for the most part, don't move jerkily at all, do they?
Not unless you want them to.
It would be pretty hard because of the kind of attachment to the rest of the body and so forth. They tend to move more smoothly than, say, the way air gusts about in a dust devil and so forth.
Right.
What about when you see the people shaking?
That was good, Jennifer. That was the one I was going to say is air. That's easy flow.
They just got too much air in them? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Too much wind. Air-fire mix. And that's exactly the way Chinese medicine diagnoses it. Call it internal wind. Good, Dan.
It is an insulator. It can cover your eyes and insulate you from seeing something. It can cover your ears. It can insulate you from hearing something.
Good. It's another kind of insulator, too. You can punch somebody in the mouth.
Right.
You can put your hand up and say, stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's an insulator, isn't it? Yeah. You can give somebody the finger. That's an insulator. It might cause other problems, but it's still an insulator.
Did you switch into reactive?
No, I think they switch into reactive. You already did, and then they do.
Right. My hand is not heavy. Absorptive, yes, you can put oils or whatever on it, and it will absorb those. A earth penetrator.
Wait, don't go on too fast. Absorptive, I can't think of anything on our bodies almost that is more absorptive than the hand. You hold people's attention by the way you use the hand. A magician, think of a magician using their hand, the way they held everybody wrapped in the palm of their hand. Ooh, language. So it's absorptive in that it is a huge instrument that we use just for that, to absorb people's attention and focus.
A earth mover penetrator, yes, it can do both of those things. It can move earth, and it can also penetrate.
Yes, and in fact, you know, psychic surgeons from the Philippines do that too,
uh-huh,
with their hands. They literally, I've had it done. They can reach right in your intestines and pull out parts right in front of your eyes. I've seen it. And it feels really funny when they do it. It feels like getting a huge octopus kiss.
Do they actually hold a physical piece of you then?
Yeah, they actually pull physical stuff out. Their hand actually penetrates into your flesh and they pull stuff out. It's awesome.
What'd they pull out of you?
A whole bunch of gristle and stuff that was locked up in my intestines. And everything worked much better afterwards.
That's great.
Yeah, it was really fun. Go ahead.
Mediator for air and fire into the earth. I couldn't get a grasp on that.
Do hands create? Do, say you're a potter. Now your hand may not do this, but your hand does other things. But were you to be a potter, would you not be mediating your intention and your ideas and your thoughts and your energies into making an earth pot?
Yes. Yes, I can see that now.
Yeah. And if you're a writer, would you not do the same thing? And you help people with real estate? So you sort of use your hands to guide them through places and you point to things and say, oh, look at that beautiful kitchen that you can own for your very own and so forth, and make it all hot and heavy and buy the house.
Oh, yeah.
So you've done that with your hands. Very good. Thank you. Jennifer, what's one you did? Let's switch on so we don't lose too much time. Let's go on to the, unless you have a one you just can't stand not to give us, to the number three exercise. Or did you have one that just was so different you want to give it? You or Magnus on one or two?
Yes, I do.
Magnus does. Okay, Mike. How about you, Jennifer? I didn't get any of your chance.
Oh, no, I don't.
Okay, Magnus, go ahead.
I did a friend.
Okay, tell us what you saw.
Okay, he's very transparent in his opinion. I'm sorry, he's not very transparent. He has this tint. Until at last, you know, he makes it known, and you might be surprised the difference compared with other people's opinion. He's a heavy carrier of organization and family responsibility.
Okay, so that would be more water than air, wouldn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it's heavier, right.
He's reflective by his behavior. His behavior affects other people around him. When he walks in, people kind of see him and behave differently.
Okay, so he affects people deeper than just their ideas, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So he reflects something deeper than just beliefs and ideas?
Well, I was looking at it from this point of view. His reflectivity.
Yeah, it's more of his values, isn't it?
Yes, people kind of have, he has a kind of reflection that people, when they see him present, they have hope it's going to be all right. You know, things will work out better.
That's good. And that's reactive too, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. And that's, that's expandable, too, because he's expanding them. He's expanding his influence out much beyond himself, in a way.
I think so.
Go ahead. You're doing very good.
He's not non-compressible. He's a very stubborn kind of guy.
Okay.
When he has an opinion, he uses it to influence other people. You will hardly change him.
Okay, now be careful if it's just an opinion that's there. But if it's an opinion with a lot of stubbornness or force, that I would say is water.
Okay.
It sounds like you're right. It sounds like, you know how some people just, it's just sort of an opinion and it doesn't count for much, but if it's, you stand on it firmly, I think that might be more water.
Yes, it results, kind of resulting into action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's slightly expendable. He's the kind of guy who listens only to people he has high respect or high regard for.
Mm-hmm.
When you advise him, he may listen. But to some other people, he doesn't care what they say. You can hardly change him. That's what I'm trying to...
He's stable, too. See, that would be stable, too.
Okay.
And that would also be insulator.
Yes.
He's well insulated because his knowing does not get influenced easily.
On reactive, I put, he's very reactive to opposition. I think it has to do with his stubborn nature.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
When he forms his opinion and he's walking towards that,
mm-hmm.
he might even try to shed a little bit of light, but he will kind of oppose to it and will maybe finally arrive to what you were saying. Then when you know, hey, I think I was saying that, I said, well, I was coming to it, kind of like he doesn't like any input. He's inherently stable in his opinion, like I mentioned earlier. He's very assumptive to his responsibility. He can forsake anything just to make sure that what is responsible doing has to be done. And he's a earth mover. He checks up the whole place.
Right, right. Yeah, I got that from your earlier description.
Yes.
Well, that's certainly good enough to tell us you know what you're doing. I don't want to waste too much time or else we won't get to new material. So I'm going to move on. Yeah, I did a crowd at the evening concert at the Corn Festival, and it has every water characteristic, just watching the entire crowd. I won't go through the whole thing, but just mentioning that because you can expand your view of something. It doesn't matter what the object is you're looking at if you can just apply these same principles. Like, one of the things I noticed about the crowd, of course, it was highly reactive to the music and what was going on and the energy of everyone else, but it kept moving. It seemed like not just people getting up and dancing, but people were moving from one place to another, like going to get food or going to the bathroom. It was constantly people walking in front of us, going back and forth, and so it was amazing to watch the whole thing as an organic whole in how it reacted, just like you all were describing people. So Jennifer, what was an example that you did of taking a characteristic in number three and finding an example of it and then whether it was positive or negative, so forth?
I did mutable.
Okay, good.
I made pancakes this morning, so I had a hot griddle.
Okay.
And I stuck it in the sink, and the physical characteristic is I cooled it quick so I could do the dishes.
Uh-huh.
And the bad part of that was it was hot. You know, it heated up the water, and I had to leave it for a few minutes.
Okay. Okay. So, let's see, you got a hot griddle. It had mutability in that it heated the water.
And the water vapor come off, so it changed.
Yeah, right. Okay, so that was the mutable, was the water changing to steam.
Yeah.
Right, right. Now, so then your water changing to steam The destructive was you couldn't do the dishes, you could have been burnt. What was the constructive?
What was good about it?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have to wait to let the griddle cool. The water.
Oh, okay. So the fact that the water changed, mutated, absorbed the fire.
Yeah.
Ah, got it. Perfect. Now, how are you going to take that to the mental or spiritual?
Okay, I took a mad person there. I read about something.
Uh-huh.
And it's a bad situation, and they have anger or power over others, and someone, it's a bad situation, and someone's mad and irate, but someone stands up to them and gives them fire back, and they cool down.
Now, what's the mutating principle there? You've got the angry person. How are you applying water, and what is the mutability?
Well, that one would be air. It wouldn't be water, would it?
No. Right. So, how would you do it with water?
Then I did it.
Well, wait a minute now. Don't move off your square there. Couldn't you help?
Water on them, they're going to either explode or cool down.
If you put fire on an angry person, I think that you got to have a problem. I think they're going to get angrier.
Okay.
But what would happen if you hugged them?
See, I would think they'd knock you down then.
They might, but it might mutate their fire.
That's true. Okay.
You know, and the question is, constructively, what would happen, and destructively, what would happen?
Well, if you hugged them and they cooled them off, they would maintain their life force. That would be constructive.
Okay.
It would mutate back to them. The destructive part is if they got mad and knocked you down and stomped off.
That, or they might have a heart attack.
Oh, okay.
You know, too much water on their fire, it might combust inside of them.
All right.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, but you did well with it. Anybody else have a good number three they want to share? Which is one of the best exercises of all of these, really. Nobody have one that was impressive? Oh, come on. Don't be so shy.
Well, I don't know if it's impressive, but I can give you one.
Impress me, Helen.
That's up to you.
make my gills agitate.
Okay, I did slightly expandable.
Okay.
Getting edema when you're on an airplane.
Okay.
So the positive is that it alerts you that you need to walk up and down the aisle.
Oh, okay. It's a warning bell. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And the destructive could be that if you're wearing shoes because of the edema, it cuts off the circulation into your feet.
Okay. And you might even wet yourself.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm just teasing. Yeah.
Okay. let's see, mentally, I have a slight increase in compassionate feelings.
Okay.
Positive would be that you don't rush into a relationship commitment too quickly.
Uh-huh.
And a negative might be that you move too slowly in deciding whether or not to help someone who's in distress.
Okay, let me see. Positive, slightly compassionate feelings. Now, how would that prevent you from running into a relationship too quickly? Oh, because they weren't hugely compassionate?
Right.
Oh, I see. A little blossom.
You know, it's like a slight increase. So.
Ooh, yeah.
To Las Vegas.
Yeah. So you're still able to have some caution and judgment.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Oh, are your gills moving?
Yes. Quivering. Quivering.
Okay.
Yeah, I did a simple one. Non-compressible fluid in the hydraulic brake line. Obviously, it makes the brakes work and stops your car. And then, of course, when a crack or a hole occurs in the line, fluid is forced out instead of exerting pressure on the brake pads. Not so good because the car doesn't stop. Now, the mental or spiritual, social pressures on an individual. Positive. Acts as a motivated force to keep us within acceptable boundaries as to our behaviors and desires. Destructive, when this force is too strong, it can cause reactive behaviors that are hard for us to resist, resulting in leakages of our own inner force. So, you can play with these endlessly. And then the fourth one, who did the fourth one? Brandy, did you do number four?
Yes.
Oh, what's an example? That's the one where you select a water characteristic and identify the ways in which physical water behaves similar to your emotions. You have the floor.
Yeah, I picked reactive.
Okay.
And if water reacts slowly because of density, takes a long time to boil or freeze, but matches the rate of energy being applied.
Right. Good.
And can't explode.
Very good. Very well put. I like the way you thought that out. That's really cool. So what was the emotional correspondence?
I said the emotional correspondent was I react slowly to events around us, yet I said matches in reaction to the emotions of others.
Okay.
Not as good as the physical.
No, it actually was interesting where you started off with the physical, because you got this idea that water being more dense than air reacts to small amounts of fire more slowly, right?
Yes.
But if you have huge amounts of fire, it's more explosive, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have done with that praise, just small amounts of praise don't affect me emotionally that much. But lavish acknowledgement can just make me orgasmic.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but anyway, it's just a thought, you know.
Mhm. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But it's just, you see, the whole trick of this is, can you draw parallels that are at least feasible?
Yeah.
One that I did that I thought was kind of cool was malleable. Water, because of its form and weight, is contained, yet seeks its own level. That's because it's malleable, physical water. Emotions are also contained within our experiences, yet seek their own level of meaning according to the containment of our significance. Yes, that will make you scratch your head for a while. So any questions or comments on that or water boxes? Anybody finding some interesting things with water boxing?
I have a hard time determining any effects of water boxing.
Really?
Yeah.
Give me an example of your hardest one. and what you were doing. If you can tell me what you were doing at the time, I can probably help you.
Well, I took on a water box, about a half hour before class.
Which one?
Oh, it was Clarity.
Water blue Clarity up?
Yes.
Okay.
And
And you're not understanding anything we're talking about?
No, I am understanding it.
Well, what's so difficult about that?
Nothing, I guess.
What did you expect to have happen?
I don't know. I feel like maybe I was supposed to, feel,
emotional?
Hmm?
Feel kind of emotional?
No, feel, I don't know, maybe sluggish or heavier or,
But clarity, that would be clarity down, wouldn't it?
Clarity down would be...
Clear water would not make you feel sluggish.
No, that's true.
Non-clear water would make you feel sluggish.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't thinking of clear water when I did it. I was thinking of kind of ocean water.
Which is not very clear.
No.
Ocean water is loaded with stuff.
Yeah, it is.
And that's why it's like Dead Sea water. Stephanie went to the Dead Sea and you can walk on it. There's so much salt, you can walk on the water.
Wow.
So that's not very clear water.
No.
It's very stable water. That's water that moves Earth upwards. See, the problem, that's really interesting what you're saying here. It's like, we talk about water, but we don't even know what to expect. We know so little about the behavior of water. So, forget everything you thought you knew about water and just experience it.
All right.
Didn't you say non-clear water would make you feel sluggish?
Yeah.
Feeling and emotions aren't the same.
Right.
So define emotions, please.
You can't. Because when you define something, you're putting air labels on it. You can experience emotions, but you can't define them. That's why we have so much trouble with water, because we want to define it. You can't. Every label that we have for an emotion is simply an air idea about what that is. Isn't that not true?
Okay.
If I say to you, peace, have peace, go experience peace. If you had never understood what that word really meant, or had some, all kinds of social definitions about what it's supposed to mean, would you have a clue as to what you were supposed to experience?
No, but, so where do you start?
You take on a water box and see what you experience. You take on a water box and see what you experience.
Then we write it down, what we feel, so we've labeled it.
Well, you can write down how you are affected, right?
Okay.
what happened. That's why we say, what happened? What happened when I did that? You know? Let's see. I'll give you an example. Let's see. Okay. Water blew Carrier up. I took a bike ride through the mountains. I also wrote on some notes for the new class we're going to do. Wrote, you know, part of the class. And both were very exciting. And there's a lot of energy. I noticed that things that were inspiring or interesting attracted a lot of inspirational energy in me, depending on what I focused upon. So, okay, so I'm in Water Blue Carrier Up. So it stimulated a lot of fire energy in me of various kinds. Sort of like if you, okay, what would you feel if you were on a raft going through rapids? Have any of you ever gone rafting?
Yeah.
Randy's the only one?
I haven't.
And anybody ever gone kayaking, tubing?
Nope.
Have you watched movies of people doing it?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it make you feel excited?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Isn't it that the same? That's still Carrier.
Mm-hmm.
See, Jennifer, some of these things you have to determine the experience by virtue of what happens. If you go to do you ever go to concerts? I mean, like orchestras or anything like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Does listening to an orchestra do a beautiful piece fill you with a particular sort of feeling?
Yeah.
Can you define in 10 words or less that feeling?
No.
No. You can attempt it, but it still doesn't really... I'm not going to feel it just because you give me those words about it, am I?
No.
So, obviously, then, water or knowing is something that each person must experience. You cannot convey it mentally. Why? Because it has too much weight and form, and because it's water. So our society is completely entranced with talking about what we feel. Does that actually get us in touch with water? No, it gets us in touch with air. Do you see what I'm presenting here?
Yes.
Yes.
Water we have to experience. You can't pass it on one to another by talking about it.
Alan?
Yeah?
Please, let me come in here. If I understood you correctly, I can say that when I tell somebody of what happened, where I went yesterday, it's just, you know, he will have the air feeling.
The air of it, yeah.
The air of it.
Right. The idea of it.
Okay. When I'm experiencing it in the moment, it has to be personal to me.
Right.
That feeling is more of a water.
Right. That is right.
Okay.
That experience and that feeling and that sensations, they may mutate into air and fire, but primarily in the moment, they are water.
Okay.
Remember that water is only in present time.
Okay.
Your emotions, you can remember an emotion, but generally you won't remember it accurately anyway. You can re-experience it by recall. However, the actual emotion, you can only have in present time. That's why we say it's a primary tool of the spirit. Why? Because okay, Dan, let me ask you a question. When is freedom?
When is freedom?
No, when is freedom?
When you're not in prison.
When is that? Not where or how, when? When is peace?
When you decide you have it.
I don't think so. That's a mental assignment of something. It's in this moment only. You will never experience freedom except in this moment.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's a concept, isn't it?
Yes.
So, that's what I'm telling you all, is that emotions can only be experienced in this very moment. So it is your primary link into now time. All change has to proceed from where I am towards the future. Well, what that means is that you can't change anything unless you are in this moment. If you're in your head or your mind, nothing will ever change because you're not in this moment. So having an experience where you have water involved tells you that you're in now time. Not in your head, not thinking about it, but actually having the experience. So that's right. It takes a while for all of us to sink in because we're working against our social scripting and our ideas and our beliefs, but that's all right. You're all doing fine with this. You're very advanced, so we get talking about more advanced things. You all okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't want to cheat us because we've got some of the most, actually today's class has two of the most valuable tools in this entire course. So I want to make sure that you understand what these are. And of course there are video clips on it. But this whole technique of doing a water bowl and so forth is so important. Now of course you can send water box messages. They are no different than how you did airbox. They're heavier, and they have more density and more form. And, of course, it does not affect your mind. It affects your emotions. It affects your muscles. It affects deeper in you. Because of water, it gives more compulsivity. So if you want to send someone a message and make sure that it has a greater effect, because some of you all found that air boxes don't create that strong an effect. Water boxes do. You want to sort of keep your message simple. But if you're dealing with a person that has been difficult and has not responded to your wishes or your ideas or your communications, send them a water box message. Water blue. Not deep blue or blue-black. Water blue. Don't get outlandish. It'll be compulsive enough. So, say you've got a friend that borrowed a book from you and they will not return it no matter what you do. You've asked, you've called, you've cajoled, you've threatened, and they just simply don't do it. And I think that's not that uncommon with books somehow. Being air things, well, they're not only air things. Anyway, so build a box, fill it with water blue, put their face in it, and then say, return my book quickly, or today, tomorrow, something, and send it and see what happens. Because you're reaching them on their emotional body level, it is going to be hard for them to ignore it. They may suddenly have some internal burning desire to get your book back to you and won't have a clue as to how come. Or someone that owes you money. Or someone that's giving you a hard time. Go away and stay away. That's a nice message. So, now, this hand-to-hand water exchange technique is really, really wonderful when you want to help someone that is having trouble handling their own water, i.e., they're too fiery, meaning they're hysterical or too reactive, too airy and fiery, or just depressed or sad or whatever. You can't do this on yourself. You have to do this with another person. So all you do is you hold hands with them, which is sort of comforting anyway. Your right hand holds their left hand, vice versa. You make a little water circuit with your hands. And you look at water blue and you ask them to let their feelings flow. And you pull their water with your pulling hand, say your right hand, and you've got their output hand, their left hand, and you just sort of pull the water in. I'm sorry, not your right hand, that would be your output hand. Your left hand, I'm sorry, and their right hand. And you pull their water in and let it flow up across your shoulders and feel what it feels like. Now, how do you do that? Just check into what you're feeling. You start all of a sudden feeling agitated. You weren't agitated before. Now you feel agitated or fearful or depressed. That's their water, not yours. So now you do whatever you need to do to clean their water. Dragon's breath, grounding with your feet. In that case, you may need an outlet close by or a wire of some kind to put your feet on, because you don't have your hands free. Dragon's breath is a good technique for this. And you undertake to put back their water as you flow it up your right hand, arm and hand, and then you took it in. And you keep circulating the water, feeling what you feel and changing it to clarify it. You can put air in it through dragon's breath. You can take fire out of it through dragon's breath. You can take water out of it through dragon's breath if you need to. Generally, mainly it's going to be a problem with air or fire. Either they have the wrong kind of air or fire and they need more sun yellow, whatever. And that's where you can do it with dragon's breath. And they should become brighter and happier, and so should you. You're not taking on their water. You are exchanging energies out of their water and just giving it back to them. And you keep doing that until they feel happier, you feel happier, the water feels cleaner, and then you break the contact with your pulling hand first, give them all the rest of the water back, and then let go of that hand. Often you have to talk to them while you do it and say, let go, let it flow. Yeah, your water's not going to hurt me. You're not going to contaminate me. I'll be fine. Keep it flowing. How are you feeling? And so forth. This is particularly useful when you've got a friend who's coming. They're all upset because of a broken relationship, or someone is ignoring them, or someone has done them wrong, or they're upset because, I mean, this happens all the time. People are very unstable, particularly in regards to their water, their fire, and their air. What else is there? Generally, their earth is, well, you know, highly influenced by their air, fire, and water. Now, one area that could be difficult with this exercise, if the person starts to send you deeper water, blue-black, stop the flow, and discontinue the exercise. But if you don't, and they go into real deep blue-blacks, and they're giving you their bank stuff, you're going to have to put a lot of sun yellow into it and try to clean it up as best you can. But once it's bank stuff, you can't stop it. You have to keep doing it until they're happier. We've had students do this for 3 to 4 hours before they could safely let the person go. Because if you let them go and they're in a bank state, they are not in a very safe position. That doesn't happen very often.
How do you tell it's blue-black?
You'll feel it.
Okay.
You know how you feel when you get in that state? Out of control? Abysmal? Like the world is suddenly going to end? You start feeling stuff or getting images like that. And you look at them and they're feeling really down. Generally that won't happen because you're looking at water blue and you're controlling the pull. It's just if they happen to have a lot of that stuff right at the surface, right near the surface, wanting to come up, and they don't have much control on it, it could happen.
Alan, does it help at all if they look at the water blue with you?
It doesn't help that much.
Okay.
Because you're in control of what you pull. They don't really know what that's all about. It's better to let them close their eyes, in fact. You'll get better flow that way.
Okay.
But it is very, very helpful. And it also is helpful for you guys because it helps you to learn that you can diagnose a person just by experiencing their emotions, their water. Which we do at a distance all the time. This is more accurate. Now, the shower and bathtub litany is a great technique for changing your own water. Because this is where you can get rid of excess stress very easily. Because moving water carries more fire. So you're in the shower, you've had a stressful day or week, or in the tub. In the shower, you might be a hot shower or whatever, but cool it down a little bit before you do this. And do it towards the end of your shower. And then it's better to turn around and let the water hit the back of you. It'll work better. And then you say the litany while the water is streaming down your body. All the tension, all the strain, all the pain with excess flame, flow with water down the drain. Out loud. Has to be out loud. Will not help if you do it mute. Or all the stress, all the strain, all the tension, all the pain, flow with water down the drain. If you're in a tub, again, towards the end of your bath, after you pull the stopper so the water is flowing, and you can stir the water up with your hands, and you're laying there, and of course it's flowing down towards your feet, much as in the shower it is, so the natural body flows are honored, say the same thing. Try it and see. It's very effective. Now, the water bowl. Look at the video on this. This is one of the most exciting techniques you can learn. Because it requires no tool other than your own body, and it has so many uses. First of all, you can diagnose your own water energy very well with this, and your air and fire energy. You can use it as a physical tool, depending on where you hold your water bowl when you build it. You do it with your arms. If you do a low water bowl, you affect your own internal plumbing. If you don't want to affect your own internal plumbing, i.e., discharging more through the colon and so forth, or the female parts, or the urinary parts, don't do it low. Don't do it in your lap. So a nice way to do it is on a tabletop or a desktop, resting your arms in front of you on a desktop that isn't too low. You can hold your arms up in the air, but that requires a little more effort or strain. You can either tuck your elbows into your sides, and you want a round bowl in front of you, pretty round, or you can extend your arms out and make a bigger bowl. So that's the rim of the bowl. And you see, psychically, a bowl that goes down from your arms. You can decorate it any way psychically you want, any color you want. You can even have palm trees on the sides and so forth. Okay, now how do you fill it? Because you fill it with water, energy. You want to have a source of water blue to look at. You form a spout right above your heart area towards the left side of your, say, right below your left collarbone. You make a spout. You could be like a Grecian statue type of spout, a dolphin spitting water, a mountain stream. Doesn't matter. However you want to do it. The whole idea is that you're going to flow water from that spout into the left-hand corner near you of your water bowl. So you're like a fountain. And you fill the bowl with water blue water until it's up near the rim, your arms, and then you circulate it by pulling the water energy back in through your palms, up your arms, throughout your body, and then back into the spout and into the water bowl again. As you're doing this, once it's filled and you begin circulating it, you want to look at the surface of the water psychically. Some people see it right there in their arms. Some people close their eyes. Some people see it in their heads, behind them, whatever. It doesn't matter where you see it. You see it. And you want to determine what is the nature of your water surface. It's not as hard as you think. You'll notice some of you will look at the surface of your water in your water bowl, and it'll be very choppy and dark. Other people, it will be windy, like squalls blowing across the surface. Some people might have big waves. Some people might discover alligators flapping about. Depending on what it looks like, you have to decide, you want to decide, does that mean I have too much air, too much fire, or what? If it's you, what you're after is a calm water blue surface to your water bowl, because that's the only way you can use it. Anything else, it's diagnostic because it tells you about the energy of your water, but you can't use it to do any of these other techniques. So what do? If it's too choppy, too windy, too squally, you stop the flow out of the spout. You pull all the water back in through your hands until it's empty. Dismantle the bowl by taking your hands apart from your fingers being interlaced. And then get rid of fire, get rid of air in whatever color you need to, whether it's white reactive air or it's yellow-orange radiative fire or red-orange, whatever. Change your air-fire balances and redo your water bowl until you're able to get a clear water surface. Questions or comments at this point? No questions, no comments? Everybody's happy so far?
Yep.
Okay. Now, I'm going to teach you primarily how to use your water bowl for communication in this class. Or sending messages. Same thing, that's communication. The section that says water bowl divination, ignore, because that means you're going to all be eager to read it. The word was ignore until we get to divination class, which is coming up after a while. But, of course, now you're going to not be able to help yourselves from reading it. Well, that's the way it is. Okay. But be sure and read sending messages with a water bowl, because that's what you're going to be doing this week. So, now let me tell you something. Before I tell you about how this works, this is the most fun technique you'll ever run across. It is so easy. In spite of the fact that probably most of your minds are chattering away endlessly at this point, I'll never be able to do that. That sounds too difficult. How do you do it? Blah, blah, blah. Just do it, please. It is really easy. You'll be so pleased when you find out how easy it is to do it. In spite of the fact that your mind can't figure it out worth a darn. Not about your mind, it's about your water. Simply filling a water bowl, building and filling a water bowl. Okay, one other caution. If you're flowing your water and pulling it back in and all is going well, but it stops flowing of its own, that's okay. Don't try to restart it at that time. Pull all the water back in, dismantle the bowl, and do it an hour or two later or the next day. Because if it stops on its own, it means that it may be going to go into your deeper watercolors that you don't want to be dealing with. And just give it a rest, and then next time you do it, it'll be fine. So if it stops on its own, don't try to force it. Don't restart it. Okay, now, so you've got a good water bowl. You've got it flowing. The surface is nice and clear. And you want to talk to someone. You want to communicate. See, this is different from a message box. In a message box, you don't have two-way communication. You're only able to send a message. This is a two-way communication principle. This is not imagination. This is actual. Okay. So you've got a person on your mind that you would like to communicate with, and they don't listen to you. It may be your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, a friend, an enemy, whatever. Boss, doesn't matter. But every time you have tried to communicate with them in actuality, they dominate the conversation, or they don't hear you, they don't get the point, or maybe they lie, and you don't get straight communication. Here's the secret. You guys. In the emotional body, there is no such thing as lying. That only exists in air, in the mind. You cannot lie in water. So everything that you perceive from another person in water is actual and factual. It is the truth. So how do you do this? You've got your water bowl, you've got clear water flowing. Put their face in the water bowl. See their face down in the water, not on the surface, down in the water slightly. And all you do is start talking to them out loud, just like they were right there. And you pay attention to them because they are going to react to what you say. You will see them react to what you say. Then stop talking and allow them to answer you, and they will. They will talk right back to you, right there in front of you in your water bowl. And whatever they tell you is the truth. And, of course, whatever you tell them is going into them emotionally, not just into their minds. It is a direct line into their spirit. It is spirit-to-spirit communication. It is highly effective. You learn to do this technique, and then we will teach you how to find lost things, lost people, how to look at past lives, how to reach people who have died. Any of that stuff you see on TV that Crossing Over talks about, you can do in a water bowl. But you have to learn how to use the technique first.
Question? Just the other person, do they have a tendency to feel this emotionally?
Yes. They may not be consciously aware of it.
Right.
But they absolutely will feel it and respond to it. And it doesn't matter whether they're awake or asleep. And the reactions that you see them do, their faces or their whole body, you can have their whole body in the water bowl too, are factual. They're not your imagination.
I have a question.
Sure.
When do we know when the flow stops?
You'll feel it. You mean if it stops on its own?
Yes, like you said, when it's...
Yeah, you feel like a little start, or sort of like, you know what would it feel like if you had a water hose flowing and you put your finger in it?
No pressure.
Yeah, it would just stop, like. That's what it feels like. It feels like something just suddenly blocked the flow. It's obvious enough, Magnus, that it'll almost startle you. Because you're not thinking about that. Then all of a sudden, whoa, it stopped. Now, if you forget what you're doing, and you drop a water bowl filled with water, you're going to have a hard time getting all that water back in your body. Because that's a lot of water energy. Don't do that. Don't think that, oh, I'll just spill it out. Stop the flow and pull the water back in. If you do accidentally drop a water bowl, take in about 100 water boxes. That's about the equivalency. Or until you feel balanced again, it's going to be a lot of boxes. If you want to help yourself with an unwanted pregnancy or just to get your menstrual cycle going again or any other problem of it flowing properly, or sometimes just stagnant blood, i.e. pain at menses and so forth, or constipation, or sluggish urination. Do the same water bowl, just like we've done, diagnosing the quality of the water surface and all that, and do whatever balancing you need to do after dismantling the bowl, and then do it again. But do it with it sitting in your lap, i.e. a chair that has arms that allow you to form your arms in the rim of the water bowl so that the form of the bowl is right in your lap, and it will affect your physical plumbing. And of course, then what you notice about the surface of the water when you start flowing your water bowl and fill it and then circulating it will be about your physical disorder. So when you do your balancing, you will affect that. And when you get a clear flow, you've taken some of the problem, the causes of the problem away, and then the flowing of it will help clear out those parts. And of course, you can also, in any of those areas that are blocked, put water boxes in, just like we did Sun Yellow. Now we can take water boxes and send them through. You can also heal other people. Remember, water penetrates earth, water moves earth. Water is absorptive, water carries fire. So anything that is blocked in another person or obstructing, particularly if you've gotten the red-orange fire energy out of it, if it was a painful obstruction or a tumor, you've killed it, if need be, then you can wash it away, or scar tissue. You can wash it away by flowing water boxes through. Water blue carrier, water blue easy flow, smooth flow, water blue mediator, water blue absorptive, and you can wash away the debris or the blockage that way. Just make sure you get the excess fire energy out of whatever it is first. You don't want steam explosions in your friends. They won't be happy with that. Most people will feel the water flowing through them. It'll feel like a cool river flowing right through their body. Dry skin, you can make water boxes and just sort of wipe right down your arm or leg or abdomen, whatever, and moisturize the skin. A lot of things that you can do with water energies, a lot of things. So really, do play with these techniques. You'll be so pleased. You'll amaze your friends. No, well, you don't have to do that. But it's fun. Any questions? Helen, any questions that come to you of all these delicious techniques?
No, they really sound like they're fun. Nothing at this point.
Okay, well, they are fun. You're right. And amazingly effective.
Especially, well, also the moisturizer one, living in Colorado.
Yes, indeed. See, Randy, any questions or comments?
Well, my only comment is that coming into the class, I thought I was getting a better grasp on the elements, and but that kind of got thrown away.
No. Don't be so easily dismayed. You only noticed that it's more complex than you realized?
Yeah. It's definitely a lot more complex.
But you see, because you're beginning to see things more in terms of a mix than a single element at a time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's okay. Just go back to looking at things single element at a time. As best you can. Realizing that everything is a mix, this is why more people don't study magic. Because it's a lot to assault our senses with. At the same time, it's totally doable. So don't let your mind play games with you and tell you that you don't understand, because you do. All of you are doing amazingly well. You're just beginning to realize how complex creation is, how complex everything is, this universe is. Does that not tell you something about the nature of God versus what an agnostic or an atheist would say? No proof of God on this planet? It couldn't be this complex and all work if there weren't some divine force making it all happen, wouldn't you say? So, that's all right. Appreciate how complex it is. But remember, how do we study magic? We create constants out of a sea of variables.
Okay.
So, that's what you're learning to do. And you're very effective at it. You just can't imagine how you could get it all, but you will.
Okay.
Just trust that.
All right.
Dan, any questions or comments?
Well,
we lose you? Maybe he already left. I know we ran a little over. Jennifer?
That's fine.
Agnes?
No question right now. Just like what you said, you know, sometimes as we are going step by step, one begins to wonder how, you know, all these are put together. And sometimes you are doing an experiment or exploration. It makes it a little bit difficult to know what to do exactly when in order to put things together the right way for it to work.
I know, but you see, you're not the first people to ever study magic and do these courses. And everybody before you has gotten it and done really well with it, so you just have to trust me on that, okay? And just look at all that you've learned now and all that you've been able to do. Don't focus on what you don't think you know yet. And we'll all be fine. Okay, you guys, you're doing great. Trust me on that.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.